Hello and welcome to Fat Chat, the podcast that actually adds an accessory before leaving the house. You know, everyone else is getting that one wrong. And this week we are going to be talking about finding your style.
I'm Hayley from Curves and Curls, and if I love it, I'm wearing it.
Hi, I'm Rifki from Slink Magazine, and if you pay me, I'll find your style for you.
Oh, I might need
little
that.
Little plug there.
And I'm George from Fuller Figure Fuller Bust. And if I like it, then I'm going to put a belt on it. If I like it, then I'm going to
There's always
put
a song.
Always. There's always
There's always a,
song.
A belt.
Yeah, and don't forget, guys, if you are hungry for some more Fat Chat content at the end of this episode, then head to our Patreon. We've got the link in the episode notes, or you just go to patreon.com and search for Fat Chat and you'll sign up. You'll get instant access. You will get extra episodes, stickers, all sorts of amazing things. And also do not forget to follow us on social media. Make sure you're heading on over to Facebook and searching for Fat Chat Community, which is our incredible private group on Facebook where you can chat all things Fat Chat and all things being fat, being an ally and everything like that. So we hope to see you there.
I feel like you kind of like first come across this idea of having to have a style when we like hit our teens and preteens.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
There starts to be these things you have to have in order to be cool. Did you have any of those things when you were growing up?
Of course. It was all about the Baby G watch, which I never actually had, but I wanted so badly. I still think about it sometimes. I'm still very jealous of all my friends' parents who had Costco accounts who got a Baby G, and there was just me, watchless, never knowing the time.
Is that where you got them? Costco?
Yeah. Yeah, it was really weird. It was like, I just remember coming back to school after a summer or something and everybody had a Baby G watch and then there was just me without one. Sobs.
Naked wristed.
Yeah, I mean, I was also heavily into the Baby G. I remember asking my dad to get me one from the States and then he got me the G-Shock, which is the bigger version.
Sacrilege.
I mean, he wasn't to know, but I was still so gutted. I was like, oh no, you tried, but no.
And it's so important at that age, isn't it, to get the exact right thing. You have to have the exact right thing.
Oh yeah, the worst is to have something that's just not quite right, or the cheap knockoff brand of it. I remember it became really fashionable to have, they looked a lot like Converse. They were like sort of simple sneakers, but they had the really thick soles, like all the way around.
Yeah.
Like really deep sole, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think we must have been like 10 or 11 and you just had to have them. And I remember us having a, what we call like a civvies day, but like a day where you can wear your own clothes. Like saying to my mom, like, you have to take me to the shop to get them before civvies day because I could not possibly wear any other pair of shoes. It was not acceptable. So yeah. Crazy.
For me, it was when I was about 10, 11. It was pedal pushers. Those just below the knee. Yeah.
Still the worst trousers ever. That have existed.
Oh, I love them.
Nah.
I also, it's that excitement. Like, I can still feel it. Like, when you're a child, when you know you're going to have a chance to wear your own clothes in front of your friends, like you're saying with like your civvies day, that excitement. I get to show off my new whatever, whether it's your backpack, your pencil case. Now I just post it on Instagram. Instant gratification. You know, you see where it comes from.
And I think, like, when we move into like being teenagers, you're either very super mainstream, as in there's very obvious fashion that's being sold in all the stores and you wear exactly that. Mm-hmm. Or you kind of like hang out in the subcultures on the sort of fringes of society. But whatever it is, it's really about like finding your tribe and where you fit. I don't know about you guys, but for me, how people dressed, what music they listened to, it was very much a part of their identity and how I figured out who they were and like mm-hmm. whether we would get on. I don't
Definitely.
Know.
Completely. It's so interesting. We actually did a massive unit on it when I was at university. And it's still one of the favourite units I ever studied because I think subcultures are absolutely fascinating. And the way we still use our clothes to identify us and tell something about ourselves. But I don't think subcultures exist perhaps in the same way that they did maybe 10 years ago. I think fashion has absorbed so much of those subcultures that we had 10 years ago. But even subcultures that we had, you know, 50 years ago, mods, rockers, they've almost been disseminated by fashion.
I know what you mean, but I think maybe that's something that happens as we get older. I still think for young people, there still seems to be that division. I've got some sort of cousins who are in their teens in my extended family. Some of them are like proper little poppy girls that wear whatever is super fashionable. They're clearly ordering straight from Boohoo. And then there's like some of them are like still super grungy. And I recognize in their outfits stuff that I was wearing at that age. I think it's just purer when you're younger. It's like how when you're older, you start to admit that even though you like rock music, you also really love ABBA. But when you're a kid, you don't tell anybody you fucking love ABBA because that's social suicide.
Definitely. That division when you're younger, like you say, it's so important. I just remember in school when I was about 13, a boy in my class, I can remember his name. I can remember exactly which building
we're
in.
You're not going to out him.
It was Matt Deedy in the science block with the question. And he was like, are you a townie or a grunger? And I was like, I'm a grunger. It was like kind of like the Montagues and the Capulets, like I had to pick a side and there was no way I was being a townie. I liked my kind of rocky music, rocky clothing, and that was it. Certain groups of people hung around together and on Mufti Day, as we called it, own clothes day, they'd be there and they're like with the chains hanging out of their pocket.
Yes.
The boys would be in massive flared trousers, like
attached
the band
to the
t-shirts.
Wallet.
Attached to the wallet. Attached to usually just back on itself, I think, with some of the boys. Do you know what I mean? And it was
wallets,
such a
they
thing.
Didn't have wallets yet.
They didn't have wallets.
Yeah, 13, yeah.
They had like a £5 note tucked into their backpack for an emergency if they ever needed anything. But, you know, it was such a thing and everyone was drawing the pentagram star on all of their things. And then boys with their like really white trainers, they would make sure their trainers never got dirty and like the tracky bottoms. It was such a divide. Oh, I would never be a townie, never.
God, I miss being a teenager and having that kind of teenage experimental style. What were your guys' style like as a teenager? I mean, obviously, George, you fitted into a subculture.
I was very influenced by a lot of the female singers and like TV personalities at the time. Ashley Simpson, Avril Lavigne. I also loved My Chemical Romance and still do. So like I tried to dress like them or wear what they wore or copy their hair, copy their like, nail
emo.
Polish, whatever it was. Yeah, emo. Oh my God, I'm not ashamed. I'm still an emo. What about you guys? Neither of you are currently emos, but I feel there was some emo in your past.
Right now I'm in my pajamas. I don't know what subculture is that. The sleepy one.
What about you, Riv?
Well, I was a bit of a conundrum because I think I was into fashion from such an early age. It was so important to me, but I was very much into goth for the fashion. Like I would go to Camden every single weekend and traipse around the market and buy for, you know, like how you're not supposed to like talk to strangers, but I was going down into, if you've ever been to Camden, there used to be downstairs of these dodgy little shops, and I would go down there and buy all my clothes from like random little shops in Camden and the market. And the Electric Ballroom used to have this super gothy punky market on a Sunday, and I would wear black cord flares. I had massive heavy high platform lace-up black boots. I was properly into like the goth clothing scene. However, I also loved S Club 7 when it came to my music. So I'd be like traipsing around with my Walkman on, but I'd be listening to pop, but dressed like a pure goth. It was great.
Such a little weirdo.
Oh my God, did you say you wore buffaloes as well? Oh, buffaloes and punky fish trousers. Oh, I couldn't get enough of either of those. I would always go either Portobello Road Market or Guildford Market and get those kind of like shoes and trousers. They were the best. What about you, Hayley? Would you have been caught dead in punky fish trousers?
I really hate punky fish. It's like the sort of high street acceptable version of all the cool stuff in Camden. It made me cross. Even as like a teen, I was like, well, this is not legit. I don't know. Something in me knew that this was not really cool to me anyway. I don't know. I think I was like somewhere between like a punk and a hippie. I've never been very good to sticking to one thing. Subcultures in South Africa, they're quite small. You know, like there's a small amount of people. So basically everybody who wasn't in the mainstream kind of hung out together. We had one nightclub that was for the alternative scene called Burn in Durban. It was in like a rough part of town. The entire of it was just painted black inside because then they didn't really have to worry about anything else. And everyone who wasn't super mainstream was there. So there was hippies, there were people smoking lots of pot, there was goths, there was punks, and we'd all get like a bit of turn to hear the music that we loved. It meant that I kind of just embraced all of that stuff. And I think my style's still a little bit like that. I've never really been good at sticking to one thing. I don't know, a bit of everything, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, unlike Riv, my association was more the music first. And then I didn't feel like I had to dress in like one particular way to go with that. But if anybody accused me of liking a different sort of music or something, I'd be like, listen here, bitches. Like, it was very important to me that no one thought I was into pop music.
Oh!
Yeah, I had a deep appreciation. And like, I'd be the girl in the record store just listening to obscure CDs, trying to find like new music that no one had heard of before.
So basically, me and Hayley would not have been friends as teenagers, is what we're saying.
No, that S Club 7, if I'd ever heard something spilling out of your headphones, I would have just been like, mate, fucking hit the road.
That just reminds me of Saturdays in HMV where you could listen to like snippets of an album before you bought it. Oh my God, simpler times. I miss them so much.
In South Africa, they would put... So they'd have like a set in our local ones, which was called, Look and Listen. They had like 10 stations where you could listen to them, but they'd just basically go in the back and put the CD on a CD player. So you could just sit there and listen to the entire album, which was amazing. So many a Saturday evening spent there just listening to, you know, whatever.
Seether.
Yeah, Seether. Which was called a different name back then, South African rock band that made it big in the States. But I've always thought that it's really important that you like get where your references come from, because I'm a purist like that. So I remember my brother at like the age of 13 or 14 coming home with a Che Guevara t-shirt. And I was like, you are totally allowed to wear that. But first you have to be able to tell me something about him. Because why are you walking around with someone's face on and you don't understand? I was like, he's not just a cool symbol. Go and fucking figure it out. To this day, I still feel like that when I see teenagers. When all those t-shirts, like Bruce Springsteen and Fleetwood Mac t-shirts were in H&M a couple of years ago, I felt like stopping them on Oxford Street and just being like, you're like 16. Tell me a Bruce Springsteen song.
Crazy, crazy redhead lady shouting at people on Oxford Street. How crazy. I miss those times.
Fashion music police.
Yeah.
We would love to hear about what subculture you were part of. Maybe you want to share some old pictures. We'd like to know about your life. So come over to @FatChatPod or the Fat Chat community on Facebook. And yeah, let us know what subculture you were in. We want to see those throwback pics. So obviously those teenage years were all about fitting in, but then once we start to grow up, we kind of want to stand out and find our own style. So George, tell me, how did you work out who you were style wise?
I mean, I still feel like I'm kind of working it out, but definitely a big moment for me in terms of finding my style was sort of finding the pinup style and community, because not only did I find amazing clothing, but there were so many Facebook groups and things that I was part of that really helped me with learning how to do hair and makeup and buy more pinup clothes and like be like exposed to more brands. But yeah, I'd say it's about 10-11 years ago, I've spoken about this before, where I just sort of searched for leopard print knee length plus size dress or something like that, because it felt like on the high street at that time, everyone was wearing just like really short dresses, like sleeveless dresses. There wasn't enough room for the boobs. The patterns weren't very fun. I knew at that point that my inner Cat Slater needed to be on the outside. Mm-hmm. I knew I loved leopard print. And I remember finding that dress. It was called the Micheline dress from Pinup Girl Clothing. And I was like, why don't they sell this in Jane Norman and Wallace or wherever else I was trying to like find clothing at that time? And yeah, that was just, it was amazing. I just remember I loved pinups. I loved that kind of style. I'd watched LA Inc. and Miami Inc. and I loved people like Kat Von D, and I loved seeing those pin-uppy people that would come onto that show. I also kind of didn't really want to dress like other people, and not because I was like, I'm too cool for you, but more because I was like, I don't like what you wear. I like it on you, but I don't like it on me. It's not going to suit me. Like, I'm aware that my body is bigger and different. And I wanted to do things like cover my knees, just because I wasn't a big fan of my legs, and I like that silhouette where it covers the knee. I have never been able to find a strapless bra that I want to wear long term. I find it more comfortable having bra straps. I'd no problem with that, but that meant a lot of tops and styles of tops and dresses were out, and it was just amazing that I found a style that really went hand in hand with everything I wanted, and I felt it really suited my figure. So yeah, that was my foray into the pinup style, and I don't think I'm ever gonna come back out of it. But what about you guys? What about you, Rivki? What would you say when and how and where and what happened?
So when I was younger, I was like a size 22, so I was quite a bit bigger than I am now. And I think, honestly, when I was younger, I was a far more creative and interesting dresser. I think I was so much getting into fashion and going off to university to study fashion and all those things as I was in like my later teens. I was really, you know, very much experimental with colour and with shape, and I'd really spend a long time putting outfits together because I think that was almost like my crutch when I met new people, was that, oh, she's fat, but she dresses really cool. And then I think when I lost quite a bit of weight and now I'm a size 16 and I can get away with shopping in more places, I'm just really lazy. I have nice clothes, I have nice dresses, but I'm very much a dress person. I'm almost like a one stop, like, oh, that's a nice dress. Yes, I'm put together. If I find a pair of boots I love, then I buy them in every colour. I'm a much simpler dresser now. It's much more grown up. I feel like I'm much more about looking professional to go to work in, and then just with the odd quirks rather than the kind of stand out really intensely looking for things that I did before. But obviously I'm still a magpie, I still will wear sequins to work and feathers, so I'm lying when I say I'm a professional dresser. I still wear lots of embellished things, but I probably don't make as much effort as I would like. I think if someone shoved me a load of money and said you could start again, I might just chuck everything away and start again.
I mean,
try a different style.
That's the dream, isn't it? Somebody just giving you a chunk of money and being like, you can chuck out everything you want and then just go and start again. For me, I think for a long time I was playing by some of those fashion rules. So even though I enjoyed playing around with fashion, felt like I wore a lot of black and a lot of things to make me look smaller, I would maybe buy something and then feel like it made me stand out too much or something. I remember we had this shop in South Africa called YDE, which was Young Designers Emporium. It's a really cool shop. Basically, all these young designers that had just come out of fashion school, the top ones, they'd give them their own collections, and they were making all sorts of crazy, fascinating clothes. It was great.
So cool.
But obviously, most of them stopped at a really small size. So I was very much dictated by what I could buy in that store. And I'd go in with smaller friends and be like, oh my God, if I was your size, I would be going nuts in here right now. But instead, I'm just looking for something with some stretch in it. So now I think with having changed how I feel about my body, I just wear whatever I want. And I think some of the things that other people save for special occasions, like massive tutu skirts and sequins and glitter, I'll just wear them every time. I love things that make people stop and go, oh my God, where did you get that?
I constantly forget it's not normal to wear sequins in the day. I've literally got into the lift at work before wearing a tweed dress that has loads of sequins on it, and literally the light has bounced off. We've got these metal Charlie and the Chocolate Factory lifts, and I've just lit up the whole thing like a disco ball, and everyone's looking at me and I'm like, oh yeah, this is not normal office clothes, is it? Right, sorry.
Did you not know it was Sequin Tuesday? peasants.
I mean, I think for me, a lot of it is just about colour. It's about taking up that space that I wasn't supposed to. Also, comfort is really important. I'm not wearing anything that makes me feel uncomfortable for a long time, in the hope of finding clothes that fit or something. I'd often be in something a size too small. And I think my style is just really feminine as well. That's what I gravitate towards, whether that be like the more vampy side of things or the much more like girly, pastely. Yeah, I just feel really comfortable in that feminine space. It feels like a reclaiming of power. I really like it. And I think it's interesting because I think when I was younger, I used to think that androgyny was more powerful. But for me now, I feel powerful when I'm like very feminine. What do you think this sort of teen, 16, 17 year old version of you would think about your style now? George, what would she say?
16, 17 year old me was forever trying to emulate everyone else's style. So I think she would be hella impressed that doesn't happen. She did not wear dresses. She was just forever uncomfortable. I still wished I had school uniform at that age because I hated going to college and having to wear my own clothes. So yeah, I'd like to think 16, 17 year old me would be happy and probably ask 32 year old me to buy her some alcohol. What about you, Hayley?
I think she'd be pleased. I think she would be pleased to see that I'm not really sticking by the rules. And even back then, I think once I got to like 15, 16, I stopped worrying so much about wearing what everyone else had to and just doing my own thing. I've never been bothered by labels particularly. I've never been bothered by where something comes from. It can be from Primark or it can be from, you know, the fanciest shop on Oxford Street. If I like it, I'll wear it. And I'm still like that, I think. But now I'm just definitely wearing what I want. Plus, she'd be so excited that there's so much choice for plus size people. She would be thrilled because she didn't grow up in a world like that. She always thought that if she wanted to wear what she wanted, she'd have to be smaller. So I think she'd be really pleased about that. What about you, Riv?
I think she'd be really disappointed in
me.
Do you know what? I'm going to post them over on at Fat Chat Pod. I used to have the most fuck off mental Yeti boots. So before Ugg boots came along, before like those furry boots came along, I managed to convince my parents one year for my birthday to get me these boots from Japan that were like platforms, and they were pink and white fur on the outside. And from the same brand, I also had, people literally used to almost crash their cars as I pottered down the street in them. I also had like white platforms with a pink lace-up boot. They were like mental space shoes. I used to dress like an absolute, I was just cool. I was like, I didn't care. Do you know what? I had no self, I think I've got more self-conscious as I've got older. Whereas when I was younger, I was like, people are going to know that I'm big, so I'm just going to wear whatever.
Yeah.
And I think then I ended up in this like weird in-between space when also trying to be professional. And sometimes I just, yeah, I just miss the Rifki that wore like really crazy shit. But now I'm a bit too like, you're 34, hun.
I think maybe next time you go shopping, you can channel some of your 16-year-old Rivki and see what you come back with. I'm excited.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see.
So, guys, we have got our self-care tip for you this week. And it is this. Something that probably I need to do more of because I'm always running late and always in a rush. But stop and take some time for yourself when you get ready. Make it a ritual and, you know, pick out that clothing. Make sure you've definitely got the outfit you want to wear. The underwear definitely goes. Your hair and makeup is as you want. The jewellery, the accessories is as you want. Just feel really good about your choices and good about yourself when you leave the house and are off to wherever you go. Make sure you grab your face mask on the way, though.
Well, this week is all about styling. So where are we going for fashion this week, Riv?
Well, actually, rather than talking about clothes for a change, I want to talk about how to make sure you have a happy wardrobe. So all the things that you should invest in to make sure that your wardrobe is tip top. First up, hangers. For the love of God, if you've got wire hangers from your dry cleaner, put them in the bin, the recycling, melt them down, turn them into a necklace, but stop hanging your clothes
on
them.
God, what is the film where it's with Joan Crawford when she's like, no wire hangers? I am gonna find that clip and we'll post it on the social media just for you, Riv.
They're ruining the shoulders of your clothes. They are not made for your clothes to stay there. Please, please, please get rid of them. Secondly, shoulder covers. If you've got lovely knitwear or sequin things that's got sequins up the top, shoulder covers, they're like little plastic covers that you put over the top, over the hanger, and it will stop things catching on each other.
Mind blown. Didn't even know they existed.
And it will also protect
them. Didn't know they existed, Riv. Shocked.
It will just, yeah, mean that things aren't catching. There's nothing worse than having something lovely and then it pulls because you've put it in. And I mean, I don't know what anyone else's wardrobes are like, but I have four and they're rammed. It's tight.
Four
and some drawers and also maybe some stuff in someone else's cupboard in my house. Oh, look, I work in fashion. It's not my fault. It is my problem, though. Padded hangers. Get padded hangers for your lovely pieces, for your jackets, for occasion wear, and also for knitwear. If you're not going to fold your knitwear, I personally don't fold my jumpers because I don't have much folding space. Plus, it also quite annoys me because you pull one out and everything gets a bit messy. So, yeah, padded hangers for knitwear, mothballs or cedar wood. Like, you can just get the incense and put it on some cotton wool and put it in the corners of your cupboard. But what I would say is, before you do that, take everything out of your cupboard, have a hoover, give it a good clean before putting it all back in with the incense or the mothballs, because the one thing you don't want is like little moth holes on your favourite pieces. That would be very sad. Clippy hangers, soft clippy hangers, or flip your trousers over bar hangers. Kind of an obvious one, but I feel like, you know, people just sometimes we just want to hang things up and we don't think how we're hanging them. And then also, if you can, vacuum pack your different seasons. Have summer in your wardrobe during summer and have winter in your wardrobe during winter. To be honest, it's not always possible. I actually don't have enough space to do it. But that would be my dream, to just take things out. And also, I think then you don't get bored of seeing the same stuff.
I had to do that.
Because it's gone away for six
months. I've always had to do that because I don't think I've ever had enough wardrobe space. They've always had to like be slid under my bed in vacuum bags. And it helps with wardrobe space because then you can actually see what you've got.
Exactly. And then also, isn't it nice when you take them out and you think, oh God, yeah, I've missed that. Whereas I think if you see it all the time, you kind of get a bit bored of it by the time it's actually time to wear it. And yeah, just make sure that you're, you know, not hanging things back up when they actually need to be repaired, because otherwise they'll just live there forever and you'll never repair them. Be strict. Over on at Fat Chat Pod on Facebook and Instagram, I'm going to post the shoulder covers, some padded hangers, mothball things, just nice things to kind of help make your wardrobe look lovely and feel like a little boutique, because then you'll feel like you're shopping every day. Isn't that fun?
Lots of you over on the Fat Chat community on Facebook have been talking about wanting to update or define your style. And if you feel like you're in a bit of a style rut, then we'd recommend you try out the following. Rivki, kick us off.
My big one is Pinterest. Use Pinterest, create a board. There's so much on there and you can pin photos from all over the internet. So if you start a kind of style board of what you'd like to wear, what you'd want to be wearing, what styles you want to try out, it's a really nice way of saving things and getting new ideas. And then you kind of know what to go and look for in the shops or if you're shopping online. If you don't like Pinterest, you can also save things on Instagram and create little different saved folders. So if you've got maybe like an occasion wear theme or a work theme or casual theme, it's just a really nice way of generating lots of lovely ideas to start you honing down on who you want that style to be. Maybe you put some style icons on there as well, some celebrities or your favourite bloggers. So it's just a lovely way of curating a little mood board.
I think also have a look at your current wardrobe and just decide what you really like, because I bet there are at least a few pieces in there which are like, when I wear this, I feel like myself. I feel really good. That's quite a good starting point for figuring out what you like. And maybe you're just going to build something around that one dress. Maybe you look at that dress and think, that is a Hayley dress. Hayley loves this dress. What else would she buy if she had unlimited resources? It's kind of like a good place to start, I think.
Make sure, and this I'm saying to myself, because as I listened to Rivki's fashion tip, I was like, I need to do so much, but make sure you have a really good wardrobe clear out. Be ruthless. Is there something that you actually forgot you had that doesn't bring back good memories, that doesn't make you want to wear it again? That's fine. You can clear that out, swap it, sell it, do whatever you want, take it to a charity shop. And don't forget, members of the Patreon, if you haven't seen it already or you want to sign up to the Patreon and see it, then last month Rivki actually did this in her own wardrobe and sort of showed you how best to go through and get rid of things and what to keep and then what to like put away in store. So make sure you are checking that out.
And also make sure your style works for your lifestyle. So obviously, yes, you can curate lots of lovely ideas onto your Pinterest or on an Instagram save list, but then adapt those styles so that they also work for your lifestyle. So obviously, if you work in childcare, you probably won't be able to wear sequins to the office or to work, but you'll be able to wear sequins at the weekend. So think about that. And then just think about maybe some smaller embellishments that you can pop into your work wardrobe as well. So tweak it a little bit. It doesn't have to be the exact image that you find online.
And don't try too hard to emulate someone else's style. I think it's so great to be inspired by people and to borrow things that work for you, but try and interpret them in your own way. Some of my favorite style icons have really different bodies to me, so I just take what they already do well and figure out a way to make it work on me. We're all plus size. We've all been doing this for years. You look at the fashion magazines, you see what's going on there, and then you go and find it somewhere else, because most of the time they're not showing clothes that fit us. So do that the same when you're thinking about a style. If somebody particularly resonates with you, find a way to make it your own. Get a couple of people's styles together and mash them up and see what comes out, and then you'll have something that really feels like you.
And as much as it is amazing to get advice from friends and to ask them their opinion on things, especially if you've got a more ruthless friend who you know won't sugarcoat things, sometimes the best opinion is your own. If you are able to right now, maybe go and have a day out shopping by yourself or do an online order and get a big parcel of things and really take the time to look in the mirror, look at things, look at how they move, walk around in them. If you've bought stuff online and you've got it at home, pair them with things in your house. Really work out what you want and what you like so that you aren't swayed by other people's opinions and you can work out, is this practical? Is this functional? Do I actually like it? Do I have enough things to wear it to and everything like that? Just trust your own judgment. This has to be about you.
Yeah, exactly. And if you really are at a bit of a loss, and do you know what? That's okay. I think sometimes it feels like something like getting dressed. We feel like we should just be able to do it because we've been getting dressed for years. But actually, if you're in a style rut or you feel at a bit of a loss, you could employ a personal shopper. It's not always as expensive as you think. Lots of them will do home consultations. Some people are doing video consultations. I mean, this is what I used to do for years and years. Or you can book a personal shopping experience in some of the big department stores that actually do carry some plus size clothing as well. It is okay to get a professional's help, but I think the nice thing about that is they're very detached from you. They're not coming to you as a friend to help you shop. They're literally there to do a job. They're not going to impose their own style ideas on you. It's very much what will work for you.
And finally, just remember your body and your lifestyle. Neither of them have to hold you back from wearing what you want. You know, a lot of people, like maybe new mums and stuff, who feel like they can't wear certain things now, but there's still a way to incorporate your style into your life. And I think we often feel like, because I'm have this body, or until I lose this amount of weight, or if I had these boobs or this bum or this tummy, then I'd be able to wear these things. But those are bullshit rules that have just been made up. Wear what makes you feel good. Wear what makes you feel empowered. All of us are examples of the fact that you can just wear what you want if it makes you happy. And we do. And it does make us happy. So yeah, follow our example. We would love to see the things that maybe, you know, new styles you're trying out, things that you've worn you didn't think you would wear. Share them with us on social media. Send us a DM. Send us a carrier pigeon, whatever. Just let us know. We want to know. So yeah, I hope that's been helpful. Okay, guys, you know every week we shout out some incredible accounts because the only diet you should be on is on a social media diet. And this week we've got a trio of women, each of whom have very different styles that we think you should be following. First, we've got Girl with Curves. She's got a really classic, chic, elegant style, possibly one of the most influential plus size bloggers out there. We all love her. We've all followed her for a really long time. And if you just love clean lines and chic dressing, she's the one for you. Then we've got Studio Moochie, who is an absolute riot of color.
I love her.
She's incredible. She dresses like a rainbow every day. Every day it looks like she just dove into the crayon box and played with all the colors, and it's amazing. So check her out. And finally, we've got Margot Meany, who has got the coolest alternative gothy dark witchy lady style, which we all love. So there's something there for all of you. Follow these ladies, even if they're not particularly your style. Just be inspired by people wearing exactly what they want and doing dressing differently in their plus size bodies.
And if that wasn't enough for you and you fancy more Fat Chat, we would totally love it if you joined our Patreon. This has been a Secret Recordings podcast, and we have new episodes every Tuesday. You can find us on social media at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook, and of course you can join our Facebook Fat Chat community as well. Remember to subscribe to us wherever you're listening, and if you're on Apple, please rate us 5 stars and leave us a lovely review, because we love reading them out on the pod.
We do. And not only do we love your reviews, we love your messages and your comments in the Fat Chat community. And I'd like to actually share today a lovely lady called Lisa, who messaged us, and then she also posted this in the Fat Chat community as well. She said, yesterday I took my 2 kids to see a family member with my mum, and within minutes of being in the house, my granddad's first words to my 7-year-old were, "Oh, you aren't half putting on weight." I saw red and I took her out of that situation, and I told them all that there were worse things in the world than being fat. And we went for a big walk, and I told both kids that they were more than a body and we are all still amazing, intelligent, caring, funny people, and we don't put up with things like that from anyone, especially family. I will rest easy knowing she will never be made to feel the way that I was made to feel because of a toxic family member, and she has a strong woman role model, and she will hopefully grow up to love herself in her own skin. I mean, well, that done, is Lisa. Just amazing that she, you know,
I've got the goosebumps from that.
Just knowing that she was able to take that and turn it into something positive and like completely shut down that situation. We just love you for that, because it's more than just how we treat ourselves with this kind of talk about fat phobia. It's how other people around us feel. So it's so good that you are taking those steps to make sure that your children are not influenced by fat shaming and fat phobia. So yeah, we love you, friend of the pod and squished her.
And that's all we have time for this week.
See you next Tuesday.